views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Had enough of the been there, done that ideas? Tired of too much talk and so little action? Rewind now and welcome to Transformation and Change Radio with Dr. Kathy Aubert, where the vision of true equity, inclusion, courage, and purpose meet powerfully. Dr. Kathy delivers with dynamic, engaging conversation and the most authentically brave dialogue on air today. This hit show will challenge you to explore current issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion and deepen your capacity to choose courage to speak up to greater inclusion in everything you do. Fasten your seatbelts and accelerate your effectiveness to become a powerful change agent in your life, community, job, and society. Imagine true equity and inclusion and get the tools to really manifest your vision. No frills, no fluff, just really powerful, good stuff. Transformation and Change Radio starts now.
Wow, everybody. Hey, welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Pat, and I am so thrilled to be co-hosting Transformation and Change Radio with Dr. Kathy Aubert. Choose courage, speak your truth, live on purpose. Let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Kathy Aubert for a minute. Look, I have the honor and the privilege of working with all of our hosts and co-hosts on the show. And one of the things that I get asked most often is, what is it about now 15 years of this? What is it that keeps me smiling, happy, and completely energized? And I'll tell you what it is. It's our amazing hosts and co-hosts. And for me, the honor of working with Dr. Kathy has been enormous in many ways. I think about the time in my corporate career, and I think about what it would be like to be her now and be in the world and be that person that represents the edge of justice and the edge of transformation and the edge of change. And what that means as you're somebody like she, who for over three decades has been bridging and building bridges between inequity and disparity in organization and businesses. And, you know, I reflect upon a time when I was in corporate America, and I think about what she's doing now. You know, her expertise puts her in front of hundreds of groups, whether it's in higher education groups, human services and K-12 organization, corporations across the U.S. and internationally. But it's about many things. It's about speaking, coaching, training, being a best-selling author, books that say things like Turn the Tide, Rise Above Toxic, Difficult Situations in the Workplace. But basically, this is not all. You know, when we think about looking at tools and books that talk about, you know, what it means to lead in the workplace in an equitable and a social justice way, this is what excites me about bringing this show to the forefront, because we're not going to shy away from the issues. Today, I want all of you to meet Dr. Kathy Aubert. Kathy, it's great to have you. This is so exciting, this first show.
I am excited to join you and see what we do this year.
Well, look, let's start out with what transformation and change is. Now, we say that, but yet transformation and change from your perspective is very different than most people. And the reason I say that is because what you represent and who you represent, 9 times out of 10, I would say, have to do with people that are not really able to lead up and have a voice for themselves in the way they need to. But let's talk about that. What is transformation and change? What is the goal?
Well, transformation change has been going on for centuries, but it's often been run by people in power with privilege to meet their own needs, whether it's to help their family or their own small community become billionaires, or to help people like them be the only ones in power. When I talk about transformation change, I'm talking about the full breadth of folks on this planet, the full breadth of people in our organizations many who do not, as you say, have a structured voice, many who are punished or held down if they do try to participate more than people think they should be in their place. And so I want to create environments where really you're energizing the voices of all across race, hierarchical level, gender, sexuality, age, all kinds of differences. So we create environments, transform the cultures, the climates in organizations and in our society. So everyone's people, everyone's needs get met. Everyone learns to care about each other in community. But more than that, we learn the tools and skills to truly work effectively to achieve these transformative goals of inclusion, equity, and social justice.
Yeah, I mean, in today's world, you know, fast forward to where we are. These are words now that we're hearing across the headlines everywhere. And I think that for many people, we thought that those words of equity and fairness, inclusion, social justice, they would be a thing of the past, but they're not. And they're not for very good reasons. They're not because there are people that are stepping up and they're speaking up, and you're one of them. I mean, beyond what you do in the workplace or what you do with organizations, right? You know, you are now launching this radio show, and let's talk about it. Tell us what the radio show is, what it will do, and what fires you up about it.
You know, most of my adult life, I've been trying to learn and then share, how do you get more people empowered, skilled up to create change? And I would be doing diversity, equity trainings year after year, sometimes in the same organizations, that I'd come back. And I'm like, so tell me about the structural change. What's the metrics you're using to show progress? And they're like, well, we just really had a good time last year. We wanted to do it again. And so in the last several years, I've had much more passion about how do I help individuals become organizational change agents and work collectively with many others to create the infrastructures in organizations to get meaningful, sustainable change so that all people across full breadth of differences, interrupting unproductive privilege dynamics, shifting policies, practices, program services, really getting people skilled up and accountable to do their part. And so what I try to do in organizations and developing the internal capacity of change agents is to help them get the confidence, the competence, and the courage to be a part of changing the dynamics. We first got to figure out what are the current climate culture, the current practices, and is it safe for people to speak up? Too often in organizations, they'll have a mission statement, a strategic plan that says, we empower our employees, we want to have everyone's voices. But when you get into the trenches, when you really get into the team level, people are experiencing bullying, they're experiencing microaggressions across race, sexuality, gender identity, sex assigned at birth, class, disability status, I could keep on. And nobody's speaking up. And people want to fit in and belong, thinking if I go along, then maybe I'll be tapped to maybe move up. And yet the same people generally are getting promoted and moved up, folks like me. White women, as you know, benefited the most from affirmative action. It was really created during the civil rights around particularly African American to try to get closing the gap between who we are hiring out of feeling comfortable with perpetuating racist ideas on what is good performance, what's a leader. And so trying to close that gap and open opportunity for all. And what's happened is more white women, particularly cisgender, even heterosexual white women, even though I'm lesbian, I have been able to move up, but mostly it's heterosexual, cis, white women, able-bodied, who have had access, especially if they fit into the look you're supposed to, attractiveness. I could keep going.
So what we're talking about is shining a light on something that's so obvious, but yet we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to really look at the landscape of things. And I want to ask you this question. If we're not looking at the landscape of things, how do we know what to change from? How do we know where to go from and where to go to? How do we know that if we're not looking?
So many organizations have beautiful mission statements, their boards, stakeholders. They all say we believe we're doing it. And sometimes they have demographic shifts and they think that's enough. And so they're not researching to realize that they might be hiring more folks of color. They might be serving more folks with disabilities, hiring a few more. And yet the revolving door is there. And so without, as you said, looking at analyzing current climate, getting some survey data, really getting focus group data, looking at hiring, retention, development, and measuring those metrics over time, if leaders are not willing to have the courage to say, where are we? Where do we really need to go? And how do we empower everyone and move people forward? And not punish the folks that are on the front lines who are speaking up, raising issues, whether you see it in organizations or in society. There are many courageous change agents, but they are still a very small percentage. And organizations are pretty effective about moving them to the side, moving them out, so you keep the status quo. We need leaders, middle managers, and folks who are directly serving students, clients, whatever your business is.
Yeah.
To have the courage to speak up.
I love this. You know, it's interesting because you and I were talking about a couple of things, and I want to just throw this out there before we go to break. You know, in a town hall, I guess they call them town halls that CNN does, like they're going through the people that are running for president. That's done that. The first one, I think, out of the gate was Kamala Harris. And so here she comes and she gets asked the question, right? Nobody else that I know of has been asked this question. And we'll see if Amy Klobuchar gets asked the question. But here she is, a woman of color, gets asked the question. Do you think a woman could beat the current president, or do you think it should be a man? Do you think we need a man? So now I found that interesting that that's her question, right? Because so far, no one else has been asked that question. Why not? Let's take a break when we come back. What does transformation and change look like? How does it envision work for change? What are the levels of this? And let's talk about the order of things. And the burning question is, other than that question, what do we think is going on when we're looking at the landscape of who controls the power? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Hobert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Hobert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyhobert.com. That's drkathyhobert.com.
Tune in to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. Megan will be raising the universal consciousness by empowering listeners with their own inner strength, working past trauma and abuse. Megan will show you how to find true healing and inner peace through the art and practice of self-love. Tune in every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information about Megan and her work, visit enterthelightllc.com.
Have you lost a loved one and would desperately love a sign to prove that they are okay? Here's a tip for you. Be curious. Keep an open mind about everything. The proof will come from the most unlikely places. The messages promise to challenge your current beliefs and what you've been taught. Accept and appreciate all, no matter where they come from. I'm Angie Corbett-Kuiper. I would love for you to share your signs from beyond on my closed Facebook page, Beyond Grief.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Yeah, boy, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I am so thrilled to be introducing you to Dr. Kathy O'Bear. Before we do anything else and get back into this, first of all, how can people find out more about you? Let's talk about what you've got coming up here, events, webinars, so forth, all of the above.
Well, folks can always go to my website, www.drkathyobear.com. Just like it spells, K-A-T-H-Y-O-B-A-R. And it has a lot of resources there. A lot of, actually, you can access some books. You can access all sorts of resources. What I have coming up, what I'm most excited about, is I have a course for people who want to learn how to design and facilitate workshops on equity, inclusion, and social justice. I've been doing train the trainers for over 30, 35 years in person. What I decided to do was make it a self-paced, accessible, virtual course, access to me every month, but also a lot of learning on your own. And so folks can learn all about that. I believe if they just go to your website, you can see some of my materials. As also, just go onto my website and you can learn about that.
Wow. You know, this is the first of many shows, right? And what a great way to really talk about what Transformation and Change Radio is about. Choose courage, speak your truth, and live on purpose. Those three things are pivotal. And, you know, as we kind of look at this, let's just talk about a couple of things, because let's take a look at what transformation and change looks like. You know, there are various levels that you talk about that we need to achieve. Let's go through those levels and talk a little bit about what change and transformation looks like at each of those levels.
You know, a trap that I fell into, and we'll talk about a lot of traps and pitfalls in my shows. When I was an, you know, aggregated activist early on, I just kind of leapt into groups and teams and tried to get involved. What I didn't realize is that I showed up creating more havoc than I was helping. I believe we have to start at the individual level. There's going to be many levels of change, individual, group, organizational, societal, world. But all of those change when we as individuals are a clear instrument. And what I mean by that is sometimes we're fueled by old wounds or traumas. We're fueled by anger, and I think anger has its place, but if I'm not aware of how I'm accessing using my anger, sometimes my behaviors will actually, I'll come up interrupting people, thinking I'm better, thinking I'm right, or the other side, what do I have to share? I don't know anything. And so if I haven't done the healing work, the spiritual work, to be a clear instrument of change, in touch with my passion, my vision, and my big why, then when I'm joining groups inside an organization or in community groups or world organizations, I'm bringing lots of chaos with me. So the first step is individuals. What are our biases? Do some of that inner healing work. And then skilling up so we know how to work effectively on inclusive, diverse teams and help create those. The next level is really understand group level. And this is where I think people really drop the ball. We have to recognize the full breadth of differences. Not only be motivated, I remember when I started out, I wanted to dismantle sexism. I wanted to dismantle homophobia and heterosexism. I wasn't paying attention to classism or racism, much less today, folks that are immigrants or considered undocumented. And so I wasn't paying attention to a lot of my privileged identities. I was only motivated out of my marginalized. We need change agents and leaders in every organization that recognize the full breadth of differences, understand the common microaggressions, daily indignities that happen to people in all the privileged identities, all the marginalized identities, not just the ones they care about. And then we have to get everyone caring about the full breadth, because in a work environment, if we're not caring about all the issues and the social identities that people are bringing, parental status, marital status, if we're not caring about all of them, then the comments, the offhanded, snide remarks, the policies and practices will leave people feeling not valued, I don't belong, and they will lose their brilliance, the innovative ideas, and literally people will shut down and drop off whether they stay or leave. Wow. That's the group level.
You know, this is really fascinating. I want to throw something out there we didn't talk about, but I love doing this. We're going to have so much fun. So recently I found out that I'm not completely Italian, right? And so how did I find out? Well, there's this ancestrything.com, and you could track the birth of your grandparents and stuff right now. And so I'm in the middle of a retreat with one of my friends, and she's doing this ancestry, and she puts everybody's thing up there. And she said, how about your mom's side of the family? So all of a sudden, long story short, she puts my grandfather up there. Lo and behold, out of the blue, my grandfather is born in Brazil. Right? And so here now is this history. My grandfather is born in Brazil. My grandfather's brother, none of us knew in our family, none of us knew my grandfather had a brother, hello, right? Lived in Brazil. And so now this part of my culture. And so one of my friends says to me, we knew there was something about you like that. You got to be kidding me. You take salsa. You take salsa lessons. You love Latin music. We knew. The flip side of that is backlash is, really, you didn't know that? Are you hiding your culture? Here I am, and I'm trying to figure out how to make sense of it. Now, these are complex issues in the world. We're seeing it in the headlines. I mean, of course I didn't deny that my grandfather's born in Brazil. I didn't know. See the world we're living where information is so readily available, Dr. Aubert, that even I am now looking at my heritage in a way that I've never looked at before. Help us make sense of this, because here I am an individual, now understanding that I'm part of a group, now a group that I didn't know I was part of, and yet being looked at by organizations, people, in ways that I haven't fully comprehend. Help me make sense of the world we live in today.
And there are so many folks that are exploring and learning, whether it's Ancestry.com or finally the families are telling the truth about.
Yes.
Because if you know enough about the history, if there was any African heritage, so many folks, not all, but so many folks did everything they could to literally whitewash the family trees, Native American, Indigenous history. So you have the ancestry that may have been ignored, in your case, Brazil. But then you have your grandfather. Your grandfather could have been from Portugal recently, could have been white-skinned and identify as white, Portuguese culture, ethnicity, and Portuguese language. So all of these are different identities. Brazil, as you know, colorism is huge. When I visited there, there were folks that looked like me, as well as folks with very dark skin, right, and all kinds of indigenous, as well as African roots, as well as Portuguese and many others. And so when you start to look at ancestry and heritage, that may not be your current identity. And what I mean by that is, all your life, you grew up thinking you're Italian and white. Am I right?
That's right.
So it's how you present. So you present as white. Now, that doesn't mean you could have other identities, but people will assume you're white, so you get treated as white, so you get access to white privilege. The white culture that you grew up in matches what you were taught on how you're supposed to be. All mainstream organizations are grounded in white culture, male culture, middle, upper middle class culture. And so you and I have benefited from all of this.
Yeah.
So even in your age, if you realize part of your ancestry is Brazil, there's so much more to know.
Yeah.
And yeah, that could just be a part. But the reason I wanted to go into that detail is some folks today who identify as white, treated as white, will find some part of their ancestry. And then they'll say, see, I'm a person of color. And yet they're still getting white privilege. They still have the beliefs that whiteness is right. They still perpetuate white supremacist culture. And so it's very complicated. And I want to honor and support you personally exploring what this might mean in your heritage. And one more thing.
Yeah.
Just because you like salsa I'm not exactly even sure salsa is a part of Brazil. I think that
I don't think so. But I made a statement like that because this is really the outside version. I mean, when you look at the circle of friends, you know, their comment was a little bit, I wasn't upset by it, but I found it interesting because I think we make generalizations and stereotypes like this. That's why I brought it up. You know, I drive an orange car. And so they're pointing to my orange car and say, yeah, see, we knew you had to be Latin. Now, all my Latin friends out there, here's what I want to say. I have no idea why I pick an orange car, but the world we live in is a world of systems and stereotypes. When we come back, we're going to look at them. Systems and stereotypes. Where is it in our discovery of who we are and what we do in the world? You know, why is it that we are either denying or refusing to deny, accepting or refusing to accept in all aspects of our life? Whatever happened to us being human and honoring that? When we come back, we're going to run it down. Systems, institutions. And hello for Don Cheadle on Saturday Night Live, wearing that trans t-shirt. Yahoo for you. We'll be right back. Tune in to The Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert, and get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. It's been said that whatever you believe, you are. When you take charge with your positive thoughts and beliefs, you are the creator of your perceptions. You have the power to shift your reality. When you begin to shift your beliefs, the universe will dream a bigger dream for you than you ever imagined. Believe in your dreams, and every part of your world can open up in new and glorious ways, because everything is possible. I'd love for you to join me on Grow Your Soul Radio with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
Hey, Hey, everybody, welcome back. Yep, this is it. This is the first of many. I'm so excited about, you know, Dr. Kathy O'Bear's show, Transformation and Change Radio. I get to do this interview with her. As we move forward with the show, you're going to see the level of complexity and honesty and truth and courage that this show is going to bring forth. You know, today is a sneak peek about it because part of this is discovering who we are. For those people out there, one is for those of you that are working in organizations and you're thinking, wow, I could really love to get somebody in my company to bring Dr. Kathy O'Bear in. Yes, you could do it. Go to drkathyobear.com. It's drkathyobear.com. Go ahead and do this. Also, you're going to be able to see a free live Q&A on designing 7 facilitatory effective workshop, diversity, equity, inclusion. I think that's right on March 8th. Well, let's see. When is that free live Q&A?
The next one's on March 8th, and I take questions ahead of time and live. It's a whole hour of dilemmas, questions, people from around the world. We've had people from Canada, so it's not around the world, but it is outside. Come together and what are your dilemmas? What do you want to learn? Designing, facilitating, effective workshops, equity, inclusion, social justice.
Well, yeah. And so let's just get into this. I'm probably, Benny and Carter, we're probably going to skip the next break. So I'm just giving you a heads up on that. Let's continue to look at this because I think we have to look at systems and institutions. I really do. And I gave you a story during the break about my sister. And I think my sister, who was 12 years older than me, she passed away at a very young age. I think she knew that secret. I think she knew it. And I think part of it is she carried it with her. And I will tell you that my sister, Chicky, that was her name, is visibly darker than I am. And she chose to live in a community in Yonkers that was filled with diversity, filled with people of color. And then her children, of course, did not see the lines in the sand. And they grew up honoring people of all colors. And to this day, they are in that realm of not just honoring, but their children now have stepped out and represent ethnicity in the world from the Latino culture, from the African-American culture. And so here we are. Let's talk about the systems. Let's talk about the institutions. Because if we don't talk about this, we're not going to be able to look at what transformation and change looks like.
So if your sister worked in an organization in the U.S., more than likely, because of her skin color and her name, even on a resume, folks in the hiring practice, and if they even she got to be an interview, would be like, the racist ideas of what you have to sound like and look like to be assumed to be competent, folks of color being seen as deficit and not good enough, all those racist attitudes are in most everyone I've ever met in the United States, even if people don't know it. They get embedded into the policies and the practices, the kind of interview questions that get asked, what gets allowed to be said, like, I'm not sure she'd be a good fit. I wonder if she's really got what it takes to succeed here. All those kind of coded language, whether it's around race or class, your education background, appearance. And so that's at the institutional level, the unwritten rules that are in the culture and the climate. But it's more than that. We have to be skilled up as change agents to recognize every program, policy, practice. We have to be able to analyze with a race lens, to be race conscious, hierarchically conscious, class, education conscious, disability conscious, gender identity conscious. We have to have all these screens on as we're looking at every dynamic that's going on in our workplace and ask, who benefits from it? I don't care if it was unconsciously developed, unintended, but who experienced barriers and obstacles? And when I work with organizations, more and more people are speaking up and saying, this practice we have for X actually benefits people by these group identities, but these two group identities, there are obstacles and we need to revise it so that we're serving all customers or we're hiring the best talent or we're truly developing and promoting the people with the highest potential in the organization, not the same old, which is folks like me and people identify as male, mostly in organizations.
Mm. You know, I can't help but reflect on where we've been and where we are today. And let's just take a look at this. You know, I thought in my lifetime, having gone through major change in the workplace, I mean, I'm talking about going through the affirmative action years, looking at that, what change that created, looking at the reward systems that were put in place, looking at what the angst, the agony of that process was. And as we fast forward to where we are today, I am struck by the contrast of my ignorance of thinking that we have made significant progress. I don't know if I've been asleep or if I have in fact left the corporate world when I did, but the point is that our headlines scream injustice. They just scream it.
And our organizations reflect society. We have so much more research today that shows if you have a gender diverse leadership and board, you're far more economically successful. If you have a racially diverse employment, all employees as well as leadership, far better decisions, far better implementation of decisions, far better customer service. The research is screaming. And even research that says, do you believe that we should be doing that? Many, you know, over 50%, 70-80% come back and say, yes, we need that. But then when asked, does your organization day-to-day implementation of equity, inclusion, social justice, small numbers. So we're at that place in our world that in organizations, people know we need to do it. You have millennials, research shows, are coming and demanding that their organization have inclusive socially justice where all voices are heard, considered across differences. They're doing research before they come into an organization. Who are your leaders? Not just demographically, but who are they and what they say and what they've done? I want to see behavior. What is your organization doing in communities and what policies have you changed and put in place in the last 5 years that really show progress? And so the young people today, whether it's inside organizations or the Me Too, Parkland students for March for Our Lives, whether it's, I think I have her name right, Greta Thunberg, I think it's Sweden, but all across Europe, environmental justice, literally these weeks, thousands upon thousands. And so you have a surge of people across all ages, all identities, marching, Women's March, Black Lives Matter. I could keep going. Family separation at the border. We were at those marches. You got Facebook blowing up with all sorts of organizing. And yet, there is so much of a backlash. Now, how big it is, you can't quite tell because the news, I think, makes it much bigger than it looks. But I do believe it's the last resurgence of the resistance of trying to keep racism, sexism, classism, heterosexism in place that only benefits a small few. And more people are waking up. You can see it in the local communities, whether it's the school boards, the PTAs, in religious organizations, in neighborhoods. You have more people with signs up front speaking up and saying, not in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Whereas in 2016, they may have voted one way. And in 2018, they voted another way. So again, whether it's in the societal or in our organizations, which are a mirror of each other, more people are speaking up, but we need more courage and we need more skill development. There is a gap between what people think we want on teams and in organizations. But when we get in difficult conflict, when we're having differences, particularly across diversity or about diversity, people trigger themselves into silence or they trigger themselves into fight. So it's fight, flight, freeze, or flounder. We'll talk about this in a future session. And we don't have the skills to have a race consciousness, a gender consciousness, and all other lenses as we're engaging in real contentious conversations that need to happen so we have the best services, programs, products, and the best environment to bring all the contributions of all employees.
And let's talk about this too. I mean, here we are. If you look at our team here at Transformation Talk Radio, right? Ages range from like 22, 23 to 69, right? Across the board. And yet we come out and this can't be cool, right? you know, people look at us and they say, oh, you people are different. How do you get all, this is what they say. How do you get all you old people to work with the young people? I honestly say that to my face, right? And I'm like, okay. I said, well, first of all, who's the old person? It's like, what are you talking about? But here's the information now. We so bent on labeling everything, Dr. O'Bear. Look, Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z. What are they going to call the next one? Is it going to be like Z plus? But we put people in these boxes. Has that ever worked for us?
So there's a difference between having bias and putting people into boxes and assuming they're all alike and then creating structures to keep them down. And the other thing we need to be doing, though, is recognizing there are real differences. There are real differences in the youth today compared to people in their 30s, 40s, 60s. And in work environments, we have to create structures that amplify the voices across all ages, because you get to be a little too old in most traditional organizations and you're over the hill.
Oh boy, yeah.
So how do we get rid of the bias, the stereotypes in us, as well as in how we have conversations, how we set up who we even invite to meetings, so that we get the best and the brightest ideas from everyone? And I grew up in a time around, I'm not that much younger than you, when we were taught as we get older, we will be the ones in charge and then can dictate. And the rules changed in our lifetime. I think too many people, baby boomers, are trying to hold on to those old rules that now that we're in charge, we get to dictate. Oh, no. Now that we're in charge, we actually need to empower the entire organization, participative decision-making, transformational leadership. And what's hard is I grew up thinking I'd have power one day. I do have a lot of influence and power, but what I need to do, what all leaders need to do, is how do we get everyone empowered to be a part of creating change, not top-down leadership, authoritarian leadership. The organizations that are still doing that, whether it's corporate, a school system, a university, a nonprofit, they're seeing the revolving door and they're not making their goals, they're not serving their clients. And so it's critical we recognize group identities, because people have different life experiences in society and in organization because of all the bias and the systems that are set up to privilege some and not others. So I join you. I don't want to box people in. But the answer isn't to be colorblind. The answer isn't to just we're all human.
Right.
The answer is let's recognize bias. How is it embedded in our culture, our norms, our policies and practices, our interactions, just having conversation? How do we interrupt it, skill people up, hold them accountable to really leverage and value the differences to energize everyone? Right now, organizations, many of them are stuck. Yes, they've made some progress, but so many people in organizations are not contributing to their full potential. And many are looking to leave or to go to be an independent consultant or start their own organization. If you have an organization, you want to keep the best and the brightest and folks to develop into doing their best work, you have to create inclusive, socially just organizations.
I love this topic. Let's talk about, we are skipping the break. Dr. Kathy O'Bear joining me here today. This is the first of many shows you're going to hear and topics we're going to take on. The question always is, transformation and change, is it possible? I know it's possible. Why? Because I was one of seven people on a team to break up the phone company and then, you know, be careful what you ask for, one of seven people to put the new phone company together. And I, in that point in time, what I saw about change and transformation, how to do it, and how not to do it, is staggering. People sitting in the same room that after divestiture, one guy is getting ready to throw the other guy's stuff over the railing down in Homedale, New Jersey. But let's talk about the possibility, because it is possible. Take a breath, everybody. Get ready for what we're about to talk about. Is change possible, Dr. Kathy?
Even in my lifetime, I've seen so many social change movements that have made significant progress, whether it was civil rights movement with Cesar Chavez, Dr. King, and all the millions of others, whether it's the women's rights movements from before my time, but in the 60s and 70s in my time, gay rights movement was just starting as I was coming out. You have trans rights. You have disability rights. You have, I could keep going, right? So you have these long-term social movements that do take a long time, it seems. But if you just look at what happened in 2018 election, you have so many young women of color coming in to the House of Representatives. We now have 100 women across racial identities, sexualities, some indigenous, right? Different religions that are coming together. And while demographics is critical, values and vision is actually as, if not more critical. Because you could have folks in marginalized identities working to keep the status quo. But what we have at the national level and local levels are more people across identities that say, no more, we can do better than this. Change is possible, and yet, November 2016, that moment to today, almost 2.5 years, I have personally witnessed literally almost every day things being destroyed, undermined, rolled back. It's almost like everything we've been doing in the last several decades, the last administration, there seems to be whatever it was bad and wrong. And now let's bring in what folks who have already a lot of resources, what their needs are, so they make more resources as opposed to the whole community, the whole country.
Yeah, and I just want to say, for those of you out there, I need to give them some information. If you're asking me, you just text a question, please. Dr. Kathy is going to provide so much information throughout her show. It's just incredible. If you want to find out the study that I referenced, just go to SodexoInsights.com, and I'll post it on social media later, because that's where you could, I'm not making this stuff up. I actually use research because I love research, right, Dr. O'Meara? I love research. And it is true. The studies that are done on multi-generational as well as where we are in time are only a small reflection of what is actually going on in the world. And I want to talk with you about that. Let's talk about, if we could, for these the last minutes we have, let's talk about the worldview. I am shocked about what I'm seeing in the rollback of gay rights and trans rights. I don't even know how to talk about that. And yet I am really struck by the silence of it. I mean, I don't know how to make sense of this yet. On the other hand, I live in the state of Washington that was on the leading edge of dropping in the $15 an hour minimum wage, which, by the way, we implemented 3 years ago here. So help me make sense of how, on the one hand, there seems to be fair working that's moving. On the other hand, it's just fallen apart for me.
I think all of it's happening at the same time. And the question is, who's going to win?
Oh,
I have to believe that this resurgence of the malleable middle, it's almost that silent middle, is getting energized and excited and becoming a part, because they're seeing that their cousin is trans. They're seeing that there are people in their community that are not getting a fair living wage. They're seeing that their friends in the workplace are experiencing bullying or racist dynamics. And so as social media has helped get these issues so accessible, I think more people are waking up and seeing the disparity between where they thought we were, where we currently are, and people are realizing, no, I want to be a part of creating a different future.
Yeah.
There are many people that are working at the world level, and I want to support them. When I think about global dynamics, the same issues, I just can't wrap my head around it. But we've got bright, passionate folks doing it. But the same skills we're going to talk about in this radio course, how do you create inclusive teams? You need inclusive organizations, whether you're doing global change work, national change work, organizational community, the same dynamics. It'll look different, but the same oppressive dynamics happen, and the same ways to create change and transformation the tools will offer will be so critical.
And for those of you that just texted us here on the show, yes, Dawn Cheadle, that's, I hope I'm saying it right, Benny, C-H-E-A-D-L-E, wore a T-shirt on Saturday Night Live last weekend, and it was Protect Trans Kids. Yes, it is a real thing. No, I did not make it up. I don't make stuff up. I don't make things up. I know we got a few minutes left, but I got to get to the question of fair working conditions, because if we don't talk about that a little bit, you know, it's a broad topic. Fair working conditions across the board. We can go in so many directions. I know you're going to take this on. I know when you start, you know, and you're hosting your own show, you're going to be lifting up the rock, and I can't wait to see what comes out of it. I don't even know where to begin to talk about fair working conditions, because we're so focused on unfair working conditions in other countries. We somehow think that we're doing pretty good here. What do you think?
When I got a chance, I was on semester at sea in 85 to see world working conditions occasionally. I was shocked, but the truth is those same dynamics exist here in our country. And so in the US, we look out there, oh, they have it so bad. I want to help, but we need to look, do work there as well as here, and not think we're any farther along. Now, I think classism is one of the least addressed issues in this country. And when you say fair working conditions, I hear classism.
Yep.
When I'm in organizations, you know, it's hierarchical treatment. Most folks in entry-level positions, particularly if it's labor, horrific dynamics. And as unions are being squeezed out and undermined with law changes as well as societally, that there are fewer and fewer organizations supporting folks that are making $10, $15, $20 an hour, maybe $25 at most. And if you even take that in a 40-hour work week, I'm not even sure you can afford an apartment most places to rent in the U.S. And so it's not only wages, fair wages, but working environment. The laws are being rolled back that are protecting a healthy, safe work environment. And then if you bring that into work environments that aren't physical labor, but emotional labor, spiritual labor, there are being rollbacks of Title IX and other policies nationally, and then even if it's on the books, they're not being enforced in organizations. So fair working conditions has so many levels to it, whether it's safe to be a person of color in an organization, as a someone has a disability, will they be able to have the accommodations just to be able to do their job, or where people call them special privileges and try to undermine them? And so we have to be looking at all these issues. That's why I love that Don Cheadle wore that, because I don't know if he identifies as cisgender. He presents that way. So I assume it's a great example of someone of privileged identity and as a person of color to come out for trans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's one thing for a white person to do it. He's getting racism come at him every day. The courage to also say, I want to work for other issues besides the ones that I'm marginalized in. It's a wonderful example of how around class, there's so many of us who have middle to upper middle class wealthy privilege. What do we need to do in our organizations to recognize that there, most of the organization is experiencing emotional discomfort, bullying, tension, not believing their voice cares about? So doing a class analysis in your organization has to be there with race, gender, sexuality, gender identity. I could keep going. Fair working is critical.
It is critical. And by the way, you know, we have so much we're going to talk about. And boy, I'll tell you, Dr. Kathy, let me tell you, for those people that did not see the clip, he said nothing about this topic, but the T-shirt and the close-up said it all. Speaking out and speaking up comes in all forms. Dr. Kathy O'Bear, everybody. Listen, what a great show. I'm so excited about what you're bringing forward. Thank you for today. Tell folks how they can find out more about you. You're available for consultations across the board, workshops, you name it. Please tell them how they can find out more about you. And what is your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
People can find my website, drkathyobear.com. I believe each of us needs to speak up and speak out, whether it's a T-shirt, the books on our wall, what we say, what we interrupt. We have to get the skills, passion, and courage to speak up and be a part of creating environments where everyone is respected, treated with dignity, so we can truly serve those that we're here to serve. It's possible. And in future shows, I will break it down, the skills you need to do it yourself and empower everyone in your organization to be a part of creating transformation and change.
Dr. Kathy O'Bear, everybody, this is a our debut show. Much more to come. I hope you are as fired up as we are about hosting this show on Transformation Talk Radio, on our Conscious Business channel, and much more. We are going to be talking about all the things that you're thinking that maybe you're not saying, and then those things that you're thinking and saying. Thank you for tuning us in, turning us on. Dr. Kathy, what a great first show.
Thank you so much. I look forward to our year.
You've been listening to Dr. Kathy Aubert on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to catch us next time as Kathy inspires listeners to become agents of change, motivate, innovate, and speak truth to power. Step into the courageous you that will change the world. Connect to life-changing conversations to extend your reach. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.